Our first reading from Scripture is from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, which you can find in your pew Bibles on page 1008 if you care to follow along. The point is this: the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver.
Our gospel passage this morning comes from the book of Luke, chapter 6, verse 38. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So as we've talked about, next Sunday is Stewardship Sunday, but if you've noticed in our order of worship, the sermon comes after the offering. So if next Sunday I were to preach on giving after you all had turned in your pledge cards, it'd be a little bit after the fact, right? So I wanted to give us time to marinate on this message during this week when some of us may be finishing out those pledge cards and prayerfully discerning what we'd like to give to the church, both financially and in terms of time and talent and effort. Sometimes when we talk about giving, we don't necessarily have 100% positive feelings that come along with that association. Raise your hand if you have ever been at home minding your own business when someone knocks on your door and asks you to give to an organization you've never heard of, but it sounds like they do pretty good work and they're doing their best to make you feel guilty about giving to them and that you should do it. Yeah. If it happens to be an organization you really feel great about, well then wonderful, but if it's something that's not quite in your wheelhouse or you don't feel like you know enough, oh, that's an awkward situation, right? And there are lots of moments where we feel guilted into giving or we feel shame about giving, and maybe it's because we're parting with something precious to us, money that we have worked long and hard to accumulate, or maybe it's because we don't truly feel connected to that cause but still feel like we should do something in that direction, that we should contribute in some way. But you know, we don't start off feeling that way. Long before toddlers are fussing about sharing and taking turns and yelling, "Mine," little babies share with joyful ease. I want you to close your bulletin really quickly and look at the picture on the front cover of this little child who is holding out something. We don't know what it is. It looks like they're at a picnic. Maybe it's a piece of fruit or a toy, towards the person who is taking the picture. And the child is holding it so close to the camera that it's blurry. In the past few weeks, our 10-month-old son, Gabriel, has started to do this same thing where he picks up an object that he's really interested in and then he shoves it in our face. And he won't take his hand away until we have either eaten it or pretended to eat it, because that's, of course, what babies do. They eat things or they chew on them and decide maybe they shouldn't eat it. But he has this look on his face that's like, come on, aren't you going to take this thing I've given you? And he'll be super persistent until we start to chew, and then the smile breaks out on his face. Yes. He has such delight in giving, such delight in sharing things that you might think he'd want to hold on to, but really, it clearly makes him so happy when someone else participates in this wonderful new discovery that he has made. So I wanted to use a different translation this morning to get us to hear that Paul's words to the Corinthians in a slightly different way. Because I think we've all heard, God loves a cheerful giver so often, and maybe haven't always felt cheerful about the situation in which it was used, that it'd behoove us to try it on with some new ears. This is from the Message translation. Remember, a stingy planter gets a stingy crop. A lavish planter gets a lavish crop. I want each of you to take plenty of time to think it over and make up your own mind what you will give. That will protect you against sob stories and arm twisting. I love that. Then Paul goes on to say, God loves it when the giver delights in giving. When the giver delights in giving. When we give for the right reasons, out of joy and out of connection and out of delight instead of out of guilt or obligation, giving feels good. It's something we look forward to. It's easy. What does it look like, though, to give with delight? First, I want to share a story about giving of your time and your talents in with delight. If you have ever had a child go through the school system, you will know that starting as early as three-year-old preschool, sometimes even two-year-old preschool, the school is asking for parents to volunteer. They'll ask for a room parent, or they'll ask for someone who can come in and read a story, or who could go on a field trip. There are all these ways for parents to contribute. And when we lived in Atlanta, and my daughter Davy was 2 or 3 years old, I did a stint as a room parent, and you know what? Turns out, I hated it. I really did not like being the person who organized things like getting the teacher's presents. I loved the teachers and wanted them to have presents, but it was not my forte to figure out what they wanted and coordinate all the money and then go buy it. And it was an experience I never care to repeat. So when Davy entered kindergarten this year at the Dallin School, I knew it was coming. I knew we were going to be asked to contribute in some way, because that's how schools thrive, right? Is by having parents involved and giving of their time. So when the first few emails came out, oh, who would want to be room parent? Nope. I just deleted those. And a few more emails came out. Who would like to go on the field trip and be a chaperone? Who would like to help with the rummage sale? Or who would like to be the person selling pizza at the picnic? Those all sounded kind of fine. But I was holding out for better than fine. And eventually, the email I was looking for came. It said, who would like to volunteer in the library for library day? You may not know this, but I'm a really big nerd. I love the Dewey Decimal System. It gives me a lot of joy to put back books where they belong and to use that little scanner gun to check in the books that the kids bring and then scan the books that they've chosen to take out for the next. Oh, I love it. This was my joyful, delightful, yes, this is what I can do. Now, of course, I'll say yes to some other things along the way, but I wanted to make sure that one way I was giving to this community was something that brought me joy. And I tell you what, I'm back to back. I'm this Friday and I'm next Monday for library volunteer, and I can't wait. It's gonna be wonderful. I think that's what it feels like to give with delight of our time. And I hope that you take some time this week to think about a way that you can give with delight to this community so that it can thrive. Maybe you're already doing that, and on the back of your pledge card, you can just check a few boxes and write, these are ways I'm already giving. But maybe you'll scan through that list of some ways to volunteer and to get involved, and you'll think, I didn't know that we needed folks to bake goods for coffee hour, and I'm a great baker. I will do that. Or maybe you'll read through and think, gee, I didn't know that we needed somebody to go out and interview people about why they're part of Park Avenue so we can post those on the website and share those stories. I'd be a perfect person for that. Or maybe it'll be something so small you wouldn't even think it's a job. For example, Julia Lee is our faithful collector of the pew pad sheets every week after church. It's the way she's chosen to give, and she enjoys it. And it's something that needs to be done. So take a look through those lists and see what is your library, right? See what is your library volunteer that jumps out at you and says, oh yes, this is a way that I can say yes, not with compulsion and arm twisting, but with joy. And what about our finances? This one might be a little trickier for reasons we talked about before. I want to share a story of a time that I felt unequivocal joy in saying yes. When we lived in Atlanta, we were involved with a faith-based nonprofit called L'Arche. That's French for the Ark. And it's a faith-based community of people with developmental disabilities and people without them living together, sharing their lives in ways that celebrate belonging and celebrate that everyone has gifts to give and that we all thrive when we can be vulnerable together and see ourselves not as someone who's coming to save someone who might be in need, but someone who needs saving as well. And we went to a holiday fundraiser for L'Arche. And they showed a video about this young man in a L'Arche community in Poland, because it's a worldwide organization. His name is Mateusz, and Mateusz is nonverbal. He doesn't speak in a way that we would understand, but he has this practice of giving. This is another way of giving with delight. Mateusz had this cassette tape given to him one Christmas of Christmas carols that he loved. And he listened to it so often, over and over and over again, that it broke. And the tape came out. And instead of deciding that that was something that should go in the trash, Mateusz pulled all the tape out. And then he took the empty cassette and he decorated it. And he gave it as a gift. He gave it as a gift to someone in his L'Arche house. And they sort of said, oh, this is wonderful. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do with this, but this is a gift from Mateusz, and I'm going to keep it. And you know what? Mateusz has since made over 5,000 cassette tapes, decorated them. He's done one a day for the last several years, and he gives them out to people at the house. He gives them out to the priest in his town. He gives them out to people he meets in the grocery store. He's given them to Nobel Prize winners he's met. He just gives them out with abandon. And at the end of the video clip that they were showing about Mateusz, they said, Mateusz doesn't really speak in ways we understand, so we've never heard the full story behind these broken cassette tape gifts. But if you ask him, he'll say, everyone in my heart. He gives these handmade gifts that he's put so much care into because the people he gives them to are in his heart. And I tell you what, if I didn't get out my checkbook so fast after that story, because it really moved me, Mateusz's generosity, but also that there was a community where his generosity would be received as a beautiful gift. But I didn't write a big old check because of Mateusz. I wrote a big old check because of our friend Tim, who is the executive director of L'Arche and is Davy's godfather. And I wrote a big old check because of Terry, one of the core members living with a developmental disability, who every time he saw Davy when she was little, he'd go, baby, and then reach out his arms to hold Davy. And I wrote it for Patrick, and I wrote it for John, and I wrote it for each of the folks who are part of that community who were teaching us how to be vulnerable and how to belong. Giving with delight comes from relationship and connection, from knowing the people that you are supporting with your check or with your dollars, and from seeing the ways in which they save each other, that they hold each other up, that they welcome each other's gifts, that each Sunday and all the days in between, you see ways in which people are transformed and thrive because of belonging. Jesus reminds us that When we can give like this out of delight, it pushes a door open that also allows God's love of delight to come back to us as well. We end up with a good measure, tamped down and shaken and overflowing, that's so dense that it just comes out the top of all the good things that each of us has experienced here at Park Avenue. So as you discern how you might want to fill out that pledge card, I invite you to shake off any feelings of negativity or awkwardness or guilt. I'm not interested in receiving a gift from you out of guilt, and the church is not interested in receiving a gift from you out of guilt. I did not run that by our stewardship deacons. But it's true. This should be a place of joyful giving. And no, we're not always going to agree with each other about how we should use those gifts. Sometimes the church will do something that we think, ugh, I didn't want to give my money for that. Or sometimes we'll be giving our time and our efforts, and we'll be working with somebody who's really a pain in the neck. And you think, oh, maybe I shouldn't have signed on for this. But overall, if we can give out of a place of delight and joy, lit up inside by the faces of the people who sit around us and warmed by the knowledge of God's overflowing love for us, then it's going to feel really good. Amen. As you go out into this world and into the week, I invite you to see if you can make God smile as you delight in giving. Find some small way. Maybe it's even like the stickers. Alex is 2 for 2, y'all, because Alex gave me stickers during the All Ages Together time with such glee and such excitement, and I'm going to wear these for the rest of the day to remind me of that childlike joy and delight in giving. It could be something small, it could be something big. But give it a try. Try that on and see if it changes the way you feel about giving and about receiving from God and from this community. Go in peace.